It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Imagine having a seat at this conference table. 14 strangers from around Wisconsin charged with crafting policies on women's reproductive rights. 9 members at the table are pro-choice. 5 are pro-life.
The group known as Wisconsin Citizen Solutions on Abortion and Family Well-Being assembled earlier this year as an experiment. Can people who come from all walks of life find solutions to divisive issues even when they disagree?
The national group shepherding the program guides members to build trust and ultimately put forth policies for lawmakers to consider. They're now seeking public input in the process. We hear from 2 of the participants. Kai Yael Gardner-Mishlov is executive director of Jewish Social Services of Madison. And Bria Halama is a licensed clinical mental health counselor in Port Washington. Kai and Bria, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Kai, you are pro-choice. What do you learn about being part of this process?
Well, the process was very interesting and very rewarding. Basically, in this process, I learned that different people are bringing different perspectives to this issue and ways of in which to navigate some of our differences. We were all coming with divergent opinions that could be quite contentious at times, especially out in the general public. But really, once you get to know other people and understand their circumstances, once we start to step outside of our own echo chambers, there's a way that we can work together to come up with solutions. Because sometimes we're disagreeing about topics, but there's something underneath that topic that we can work on together.
This was several days of civil conversations. Bria, you are pro-life. What came up for you?
So much came up for me. And just to echo what Kai was saying, definitely learned so much. And when you ask that question, what came up for me, I think what I noticed there is all the things that came up during this process of my defenses of, maybe some of those perspectives that I had of like, okay, they're wrong, I'm right. How am I going to show them, or how am I going to get my point across? And as a therapist, I do a lot of work with people in helping educate them kind of with this perspective of, our defenses and how we get hurt in our lives. And so then we develop these self-protection mechanisms and, in order to keep ourselves safe. And so often that's keeping people at a distance. It's keeping us from living our lives as freely and to be able to love and to move forward. And so I was noticing a lot of those places in my own heart of where I was judging other people, of where I was getting defensive, where I was seeing these people as a threat to my own safety and my own belief system. And so through the process of, these couple of days, I really was able to sit with, wow, actually, these are really wonderful people. And I'm learning their stories and I'm hearing them out. Can I see them as beautiful individuals? Can I see them each as a gift and somebody that I can learn from? And can I find myself in a place of safety to where I can actually receive what they can teach me and actually receive who they are? So I learned so much about myself in that process, and of course, learned so much about other people and how to engage in these kind of really difficult dialogues.
Oh, in a place of safety to receive, to be open. Kai, when you consider what people were bringing to these conversations, their own trauma, their own experiences, their own biases, when you consider like you're trying to build consensus, is that realistic? Is that achievable when you have all of humanity to consider here in what they bring to the table?
I think absolutely it's possible to attain, consensus. Maybe it's not necessarily the consensus that you may have started out wanting when you first joined the process, but that doesn't mean that you can't agree on something. As Bria was stating, and as you also reiterated, a lot of folks were coming with trauma, their own trauma or trauma that they had observed. And so because of that, they are navigating their own trauma and in the ways in which they are navigating issues with other people. And so if you take the time to get to know someone else, to realize your own biases and look at what can we work on commonly, if we can say maybe we can't agree about whether someone has the right to abortion or not, but can we agree that there are factors at play that prevent women or folks of childbearing age and people, families from thriving in this community? So what can we do to ensure that there are healthy outcomes? Because it's not only about abortion, it's also about the health outcomes, the poor maternal and fetal outcomes that a lot of communities are experiencing. So how can we support them?
Bria, the policies the group came up with included things like expanding Medicaid to mothers 12 months postpartum and ensuring sex education in schools. The group couldn't find that common ground on abortion access specifically. Is that a concern that the group failed to come to a consensus on abortion policy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily see it as a failure. I think in the midst of it, it probably felt like that. I mean, we were frustrated. We were trying our best to be open and to hear the others out. But yet, yeah, there were these defenses in us and, you know, postures at times where we were like trying to win. Like there was a competition that, you know, I think a lot of us could feel in that. So it definitely was not easy. It was messy. A lot of uncomfortable emotions. But I think something that I learned in this is that this issue of abortion, this issue of life, of bodily autonomy, the moral issues surrounding this, it's so complicated and it's so deeply sensitive on so many levels. I mean, we're talking about some of the deepest aspects of our identity as humans are at play here. And so I think it was something that I learned so much in that process that there's so much surrounding it than I realized. And, you know, like the policies get at some of those issues. Like we need so many other ways to support women and families and children. And so, yeah, I think I just learned how complicated the issue was. And I was very proud that even though we couldn't come to a consensus, that we were able to see each other, understand each other, hear each other out. And I think at least my heart expanded in how difficult this conversation and this issue is. And it's not going to be a black or white answer, but hopefully the goal and the progress will come in coming together and having discussions and just understanding the other human beings around us and what their needs are and what their experiences are.
Were there times where you could feel, Kai, that the group found some common ground?
Definitely. There were times when folks were sharing their stories, some of the stories that they experienced or either stories of folks that they knew they were aware of were very traumatic. And in that trauma, I saw a lot of care and concern and respect being extended between people who might have been sitting at opposite sides of the issue.
Were you surprised at all by what you heard of these personal experiences, Bria?
I guess surprised, yeah, would be a word that would describe it. But I think just so deeply moved at the vulnerability, at people being able to share about their experiences with a group of strangers. And, you know, there was a motivation, I think, in if I share this, like I want there to be a change here. Like, I hope that me sharing this will bring about something positive for our state and for, you know, even just the 14 of us. So deeply, deeply moved by the trauma, by the aches, the longing, the suffering. And so it was something that was so beautiful was how we grew as a group. Like, yes, the goal was to come up with proposals to find common ground, but it was amazing to see how we grew in relationship with each other and how when people were sharing, we were able to just be present and just hold each other's hearts and hold the space and just really reverence each other. I was deeply moved by the whole experience in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Kai, during the process, can you recall a profound or really memorable moment that sticks with you?
You know, the memorable moment that I experienced was witnessing folks from different, opposite ends of the spectrum, talking to each other, hugging each other, and sharing their trauma together. That was very memorable to me because I'm not sure that that would have happened outside of that room, because there are a lot of assumptions that we may make of folks who don't believe in the same, don't have the same world philosophy that we have.
Kyle Gardner-Mishlove is with us, and Bria Halama. They're participants in the Wisconsin Citizen Solutions on Abortion and Family Well-Being. As we examine this experimental program, came to Wisconsin to find common ground on reproductive rights policies and on the issue of abortion. Do you feel this process has changed you in your approach as a counselor, or how you view people who have a different perspective, how it might change in your career?
Oh, goodness. Yes. This, I will count this as one of my most life-changing experiences. Something that comes to mind with that is a moment where I don't recall who even said it, but someone said something along the lines of, like, why aren't we trusting women, or why can't we trust women with their own choices? You know, so someone from the pro-choice side had said that. And that moved me in such a deep way and in such humility, because I realized how much that's been important in my own story of being trusted. Because there are times when I think, like, I'm not trustworthy, or I am not enough, you know, some of those lies that come up. And I thought about with my clients, how much of the work is showing them that they're trustworthy and showing them that they're good, and guiding them to trust their own heart, and that they have what they need within them to heal and to grow and to be who they want to be. And so it really shifted my mindset and how I approach my clients, and coming from that not judging perspective, because I don't know all of their story, and I hope to hear more about their story and where they've come from so that I can work with them. But in coming to that posture of trying to trust that they know what they need within them. And even though I come from, you know, my own religious affiliations and perspectives and values and things, that to have such a respect and an honor for their free will and their hearts. And so coming from a religious perspective, I mean, that really challenged me. Hmm. And it's challenged how I view my perspective as someone who's pro-life. And it didn't change how I view the dignity of human life and believe still in those pro-life values. But it did shift me into thinking, how am I then loving and praying for and receiving women who have chosen abortion? Can I still absolutely, like, love them and have compassion and have a heart of understanding for them? So it really stretched me in that way, and I think has really affected how I do my work as a counselor.
Kai, what comes up for you on the ability to trust and to hear and to place value on the role of trust in people's lives?
Well, that's very much a part of my viewpoint, especially as someone who is pro-choice. I think that we have to trust women or the pregnant person and their healthcare provider and whoever is their spiritual advisor or their faith background to make these sort of decisions. For me, working with an agency that provides support to vulnerable communities and assisting them in navigating all of the barriers that exist, I question, what purpose does it serve to place more restrictions that will, you know, really affect communities that are disenfranchised even more? So if the purpose is to trust women and to trust communities to make the right decision or the decision that's right for them, then how can we make that possible for them?
There were health and legal experts, there were policy experts mediating the conversations, helping to guide the conversations a bit, keeping them on track, I would imagine. What strategies are they bringing to the table, Bria, to help guide the discussions?
I think that they did a really beautiful job. I found them to be very trustworthy in all that they did, and they had just a good plan and how they came at this. yeah, they had several points where we would just be spending time getting to know each other. Like when we would share meals together, they would shift who sat where and maybe have some talking points or, you know, a goal for this meal is to find out this from the people sitting around you or things like that. So I'm kind of broke down those barriers of, you know, you're this, you're that, you're pro-life, you're pro-choice kind of a thing. And then throughout the process where we were sitting down at the meeting table, they did some education on how to come to solutions, you know, how to develop a value statement, how to find common ground in these contentious issues, what's the posture of kind of your mind and heart as you engage in these things. And so just some different pieces of education there that were really helpful to guide us and to really honor each other throughout the conversations.
Bria, sharing a meal together, was that helpful in you know, in breaking away from these really difficult conversations, but then to have this, spend time with people around shared food?
Oh, it was lovely. I mean, there's something so communal and connecting about sharing food. I mean, there's so much to that through so many different cultures. It's so beautiful. But I remember one of the meals I was sitting, there was four of us at one of the tables within the larger table. And we all ended up ordering off the menu as if, you know, oh, if you order this, then what we can share. And we ended up sharing all of the things. And so we were passing it around. We were preparing bites for one another with all of the different, you know, parts of it. And it's like, we totally forgot who was coming from what side. And we were sharing stories about vacations and memories and, you know, the meaning of things for people. And it was just delightful. You know, we're just laughing and just like, blessing each other. It was wonderful.
Kai, what do you hope comes of this work?
I'm hoping that this work will continue. I mean, we spent a couple of days together undergoing this process, but this is something that needs to go on. It needs to be ongoing no matter what the issue is. And I think by doing this, by accepting other folks and really listening to a different viewpoint than your own, it's helpful because it enables you to see the humanity in someone else and also to see where there might be common ground between the two of you. So my hope is that this can continue, that more people will participate, and that Wisconsinites will actually go to the website, the Citizen Solutions website, and weigh in on some of the proposals that we were able to come to consensus about. It's very, very important to understand that. Also to not label folks, to understand that someone may be labeled as pro-choice or pro-life, but there's a lot of gray area in between those two terms. And a person that may be pro-choice may share some of the feelings that someone who's pro-life or some of the same opinions. So how can we move beyond the labels and work together to really create a society that's safe and healthy for the most vulnerable in our community?
Kai and Bria, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Kai Yael Gardner-Mishlove and Bria Halama, they are participants in the Wisconsin Citizen Solutions on Abortion and Family Well-Being. The group of 14 Wisconsinites with differing views on abortion came together to craft reproductive rights policies. The public input session closes Wednesday, and you can find a link to participate at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today.